All right, we're going to go to 1 Peter again. So keep Brother Patrick in your thoughts. We're going to keep up with what's going on with him. Hopefully they can reattach everything. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. So we'll see what goes on there. All right, we discussed this morning how to live godly in an ungodly world. So I think it's good that we discuss living for Christ in harmony in the Lord's church.
Amen.
That's something that's important to do, especially in this day and time. So chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So, Christians, yeah, wouldn't it be nice if we just get saved and go on to heaven? Anyway. But that's not what the Lord had intentions on. Because how's everybody else going to get saved? Amen? I mean, that's what we're here for. Is to be the example, to preach the gospel to a lost world. Christians can live for Christ in harmony by obeying the commandment to love fervently. And I really think we need to do that. That's in verse 22. By applying the implications of the new birth, verse 23, by remembering that life is short, and it is, in verse 24, and by heeding the authority of God's word, in verse 25. Now, let's break it all down. We'll look at it not... We won't spend forever, but we'll look at it and break it down somewhat. Live for Christ in harmony by obeying the command to love God fervently. Verse 22, he says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Church members, and honestly, you got to say that. You got to say church members, because how many out there in the world, honestly, really sit down and read all this? And honestly, what's it going to mean to them if they do read it? Because I know people that claim to be saved, never darken the door of a church. Who are they with? Who are they loving fervently? Just their neighbor? Or, you know, I don't know. Church members living for Christ in harmony is of a great importance. Church fellowship, it's supposed to be united and harmonious. Jesus said, "By this shall men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." If we love one another, people realize that we have something that they don't. Because how many out there love one another? I mean, really do love one another. Not that many. You don't see that many that share that love for one another. That's in John 13:35. Love for one another was really the predominant characteristic that was required for a church to evidence the true discipleship of Christ. I've been in some churches that just amazed me. The attitude they had for one another was just like, you know, I tell you what else bothered me. Brother Jeff, if you want to, you can come in here and sit down. But I tell you what else bothers me is how do I put how I want to word this right. Churches at 6. I've been in churches where folks show up between 6 and 6:20. And if church is over at 7, they've departed by 7:05. They're not going to stand around and associate. They got to rush. That bothers me. Because that tells me they don't want to be here with their brothers and sisters. And that's there's something wrong with that. Amen. Now, I get it. You know, when church gets over at 7, and, you know, within 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so, you're gone. I get that. Because you got to get up in the morning. I know people that get up at 3 and 4 in the morning. I used to do it all the time. And it's like, I got to get home because I got this to do, this to do. I understand that. But I've watched it out of people that they ain't got nothing to do tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, and they'll just disappear. I'll be honest with you. I've heard of, now I've never dealt with them, but I've heard of when church is dismissed, the pastor just disappears. Doesn't associate with the rest of the... How do you ever know it's flock? Man, you learn a lot when you go to people's houses.
Amen.
I'm picking on Sister Deanna because I was over there yesterday. But we all had a good time. I'm just picking on her. But you learn a lot when you associate with people at church. You start figuring out more of their thought pattern because guess what? What comes out usually is where their heart is.
That's right.
You know, it really does. And now I'm not talking about when we're just sitting around because we can talk about fishing and race cars and guns and sewing and, you know. But if you know what I'm saying, you do that, it doesn't take long to figure that out. So really, it's a requirement of the church that we have discipleship in Christ and we love each other. You see, the harmony and fellowship is important in the Word of God. It teaches that. And we should have that harmony and fellowship. Harmony is a good thing. Behold, Psalm 133:1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's a good thing for us to dwell together in unity.
Yes.
God desires His churches to be in harmony.
Amen.
If we're going to have a harmonious outcome, that's what He desires. That's the only way that we can do that. To have a harmonious outcome is if we're going to dwell in unity together. And it's important for us to do that. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's Romans 15:5-6. You know, Paul, by inspiration, he actually was commanding harmony. He said that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the gospel, for the faith of the gospel in Philippians 1:27. Its unity and harmony resulted in power of the first church. Why did the first church in Acts have so much power? Why did those churches in those days have so much power? Because they had unity and harmony together.
Yes.
And honestly, you can go read all of that. Most of it's in Acts. But the point is they were in unity and they were in harmony with each other. And it's important for us. Number two, live for Christ in harmony by applying the implications of the new birth. Being saved, born again. Verse 23, he talks about that. That's a common thing between believers. Jude talked about that. He said, I wanted to talk about the common salvation.
Yes.
But he had to do some other things. But he wanted to talk about the common salvation. And the reason that we can live in harmony in Christ, because, well, John, I forgot what John it is. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. In other words, without this new life, when we're born again, it cranks up a whole new creation. We're a whole new creation in Christ Jesus. And without this, man can't get to heaven. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. We've all got that in common. And I say, really, when we look at this, Sunday night crowds, Wednesday night crowds, that is your backbone of a church.
Amen.
That's the people that you can say, you know what? There may be some on Sunday morning you'd like, But those on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, that's the ones you can say, yeah, they're in the boat with us. They're part of us. They're in. They're saved. And it's important that every church member understands that they're a brother and sister in the same spiritual family. We're not in a war against each other.
That's right.
None of us in this church are in a war against each other. We're all supposed to be on the same page. We're all supposed to be striving for the same thing. We're all supposed to try to be in unity and in harmony. Now, I know we're going to disagree on this, and we may disagree on that. But that new birth is becoming part of God's family comes about, by the way, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Paul also used the same Greek word to describe God's immorality over in 1 Timothy 1:17. This incorruptible, imperishable, indestructible seed is nothing less by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. People hear the gospel, they believe the message, trust the Savior, and they become children of God. That's the truth.
Amen.
They hear the God. And by the way, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
You're not gonna have anybody get there any different.
That's right.
We all got saved by the same way. Now, we can look at it and say, well, some of us were worse than others. We might have been in bad shape. We might have been a worse sinner in what I mean. We're all sinners. But we could have been doing things a whole lot worse than somebody else. I know some people that are saved and going to heaven. I mean, they were not going to heaven at one time. They were lost going to hell. They trusted the Lord Jesus Christ because that's what it takes.
Amen.
But they were very good people most of their life. Unlike, I'll use Brother Larry. Amen. Brother Larry was not that best a person.
Amen.
And how do I know that? Because he's told me.
Yeah.
I was not that, believe it or not, my sweet wife, everybody here loves my wife. She's so sweet.
Amen. She is, amen.
Listen, we won't even get into her when I met her. She wasn't sweet Sandy. I'm getting in trouble. She's looking at me. All right, I'll leave her alone. Me and her together got into a lot of trouble. That I know some people that are saved that didn't. But what we got to remember is we all came to be saved the same way.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Therefore, it doesn't matter if you were a thief and a bank robber, you know, it doesn't matter what you were doing. Doesn't matter. Once you get saved, we all got that in common. Now, our lifestyles may not have been in common.
That's right.
But we've all got that in common now that our lifestyles should be in centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ought to be able to all get along in harmony and unity. ain't always easy.
Amen.
Outside of church, if we're all in here and we're not saved, how many of us truly would associate with each other? Have you ever thought about that? If I had never changed, let me back up. If the Lord had never changed me, I trust you, the majority of you sitting in here would not have wanted to hang out with me. Now, there's going to be several here.
No. I was just thinking, from the stories that you have told us, back in 82, 83, I would have avoided you like the plague.
Well, trust me, I was a plague. There are some people in here I would have got along with. Because me and Dave frequented some of the same places. Done some of the same stuff. Me and Larry. We've done some of the... I know a little bit more about sweet brother Tony over there than you guys know. Listen, there's some of us in here, honestly, we wouldn't hang with each other because we just couldn't get along. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, through that common salvation, we can. Because we back up and we might say, well, you know, I did this years ago, and you know how foolish that was? But through Jesus Christ, I'm saved. Same thing with Roger. Listen, don't let him fool you. He didn't get as good at pool by going to church every Sunday.
Amen.
So, and don't ever play pool with him.
Amen.
I'll just leave it at that if you want to keep your money. But anyway, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we're able to come together in this building, and we call it the Lord's house, and it is. But we come together and we can get along in unity and harmony. Yeah. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. And we can work together. Listen, you'll never get the chance, unfortunately. When I first came here, me and Brother John Ellis, we've worked together on some projects here. If it hadn't have been for the fact we were both saved, he'd have fired me and I'd have fired him. We wouldn't have been butt heads with that man over measurements. Had him so mad one day that he could have eaten nails over his measurements because they wasn't coming out right. And I told him, you can't measure it that way. Why not? Oh, he got all bent out of shape. He was using one of them stupid wooden rulers. I hate them things. Get you a ruler out and bend that dude and run it up the side. You'll get a true measurement. And he did a pipe fitter. My father-in-law used to use a pipe fitter's ruler for everything. And I'm like, they make what they call Stanley. It's really neat. It rolls out, and when you're done with it, it'll roll itself back up. I don't have to. My wife uses it all the time. And then she wonders why it was out of shape when she put it together. And I'm like, well, never mind. Anyway, so that's what we need to be doing, working together in unity and harmony. Amen. Number three, live for Christ in harmony by remembering how short our life is. If you think about how short life isn't very long. Hey, by the way, there's several of you in here. I'm not in there yet, but I'm close. But there's several of you in here that are now living on grace.
There you go, baby.
What is it in the Bible? It says 70 and anything above that?
It's a blessing.
You're pushing your luck. None. Listen, the Lord takes care of us.
That's right.
And they moved the retirement up now.
Right.
At one time it was like 62 and then it went to 65. Now it's 68. And give them time. They'll run it on up there to about 78 if they get a chance. Medicine and getting taken well care of and things of that nature, you don't wear your body out so quick. And you can live longer. They've got the heart attack I had back in the 50s, boom, you'd have been dead.
That's right.
They ain't nothing they could do to stop it. Now, not a big issue. They can deal with it. So all of that's changing. But it's still relatively short. And I mentioned that this morning. I don't got that many more years. Oh, that ain't good English, is it? I don't have, right, that many more years with a period at the end of it.
Yes.
See, she's my English teacher. Now, I may live to be 80. And that'd be awesome if I do. But then again, when you read about it, I ain't sure that's a good idea or not. And especially in today's world, huh? it don't look real promising. Peter quoted, really, he quoted from Isaiah 46 and 8. But and the Lord was promising them that he was going to deliver them from Babylonian captivity. But honestly, every person's life today, it's really like grass. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It vanishes pretty quick.
That's right.
And we ought to keep that in mind as we're living our lives. As for man, his days are grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. That's in Psalm 103. Listen, do you realize how many people that we've seen pass here at Wagon Wheel just since 2013? Was it seven? Me and you were figuring it the other day.
We've had five in the past 5 months,
yes.
6 months.
So
yes.
Five, six, seven, it's more like eight or nine, isn't it?
It's a page
full.
Yes.
And it don't seem like that long ago, but they're gone. There's... Now, I don't want to sound morbid, but there's some of us sitting here tonight that in a few more years ain't going to be here.
That's right.
More than likely, we're going to be in heaven, which is okay, but life is short. And we need to be doing all we can for the Lord, and we need to be living our life thinking that away.
Amen.
You see, because a man's days are like grass in the realm of human glory and achievement. All the glory of man as the flower of grass perishes quickly. Human success, fame, fortune, they're fleeting at best. Life life is too short for us to worry too much about pursuing greed, lust, and fortunes, or to hold on to bitterness. You ever held on to bitterness? What good is it? It's really not any good. Bitterness, if we hold bitterness in our heart, it's like a cancer and it just grows.
Yes.
And it gets worse and worse. And more people in this world hold bitterness towards somebody else, and it shouldn't be. And I'm going to tell you, there's Christians that hold bitterness, and we ought not to.
Amen.
Now, it don't mean I got to associate with that individual that I'm not, maybe that I had bitterness with.
That's right.
But I shouldn't hold bitterness toward them.
Amen.
And I've got some people like that. There's some people in my life, listen, not that many years ago, if I'd have got the opportunity, I'd have hit them. Just because. But I don't have bitterness for them. And if I see them today, hey, how you doing? And I go on about my business. I don't let them make me lose sleep. And I don't let them keep me from growing and doing the Lord's work. You see, Peter wrote that the grass withers and the flower thereof falleth away. And it reminds us that the beauty of a flower is really frail and is short-lived.
Yes.
Man, you can get roses, you know. You can bring them in and, oh, the wife, she's just like, oh, give them a few days. They don't look too good. Now, don't be like Brother Ryan Billet. I told him, I said, man, you need to take that woman some roses. Why? They're going to die. And I said, look, I said, you should take them to her. I said, it helps. He took it to her and he said, here, he said, enjoy it. It's going to die in a day or so. I'm like, that ain't what I meant to do, man. I said, take it and tell her, oh, you know, I don't. You're prettier than this rose. And I said, you'd be surprised how that'll get you. You know, but he didn't do that. I don't know. He was kind of slow in that area. Of course, he don't have no problems now. But, you know, since the days of men are so few, God's people, all of us church people, we ought to focus on living harmoniously. Having a harmonious outcome.
Yes.
When it's all said and done. When it's all said and done. One of these days that's going to get here. It may get here quicker than we think.
Amen.
We ought to be able to have a harmonious outcome. Fourth, the last thing. Live for Christ in harmony by heeding to the authority of God's word.
Amen.
Now, there'll never be a time when the Word of God will not be in existence.
That's right.
It will always be here. We read Peter's letter and you look at it. We obeyed the commands of the Scripture. If we did, there would be perfect harmony in the Lord's churches if we obeyed everything in the Word of God. There would be. There'd be perfect harmony in the Lord's churches. What a change that would make. But even today, the Word of God is still, whether people like it or not, the final authority for belief, for doctrine, and practice among New Testament churches.
Amen.
If it ain't in here, don't push it.
That's right.
Man's got their traditions. We're supposed to have an offering plate or a box in the back. What's the Bible say? Doesn't say. But we are supposed to give our offerings. I have seen people come unglued. Because, well, where I went to church, we had men come up and take the plate around. Well, where I went to church, we had a box in the back. People went back there. We didn't want everybody seeing who gave what. And argue over that and cause problems in the church over. Listen, what's scriptural is giving to the Lord.
Amen.
Not where you put it in a plate or a box. Or maybe whether you walk up and hand it to the treasurer. Either way you look at it, you're given to the Lord. That's where it's supposed to be, but people do. It's unreal. I guarantee you, Brother Larry, he pastored 50 years. He could tell you some arguments in the church over things. It'd be like, are you serious?
Amen.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
I was at a church one night for 45 minutes. They argued over the color of a vacuum cleaner they were going to buy. And people were about ready to come uncorked with each other. I'm like, it's a vacuum cleaner. Who cares? I don't care if it's purple and pink. Or if you paint it white. But, you know, and somebody said whites, you wear a white shirt because it's not offensive. Well, that don't work today.
Amen.
You know, somebody decided white's offensive. So I don't. But so the written words, I'm going to be upfront with you. The written words of the apostles. In all these epistles we read, the whole Bible, the recorded words of Jesus, are the very words of God. This entire Bible is the very word of God.
Amen.
We need to keep that in mind. When we go to argue over something in here, we need to keep in mind who we're arguing about.
Amen.
We're arguing about what God said, not Paul's opinion, not Peter's opinion. It's what God said.
Amen.
God said, write this down. And that's what they did. They wrote it down. Now, even the words which they read in this epistle and the words of the gospel which had been preached are God's word. The word of God is incorruptible, verse 23. It's living, verse 23. It's abiding, verse 23. It's enduring, verse 25. And eternal in verse 25. God's word alone reveals the glorious saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 25 of what we just read. Which, honestly, it has a unifying and harmonizing effect on all of God's people when obeyed in His churches. If we could all get it down pat that's what the Scripture says, that's what we do. What an outcome that would be.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
One of these days, we're going to show up in heaven and we're going to look at some of the things. I guess we'll be able to remember some of what went on here for a while. And we're going to look back and say, you know, that was just stupid. Churches split over stupid things.
Yes.
You know, couple get mad and leave over a stupid thing. Because when we all get to heaven, all of this, we're going to look back and say, wow, it was short. You know, it really will be. It'll be like the grass of the field and the flower, here today, gone tomorrow. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, as we prepare for an invitation, Lord, I ask that you would work in our hearts and in our minds. Help us, Lord, to strive to live in harmony and to live in unity with each other in your church. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand.